Praise God. Well, we're still on the subject of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Can't get away from it, so I'm not going to try to. Hallelujah. Still talking in these areas. I'm being led by the Spirit. Excuse me. I think as I was reading some stuff about, I had done some teaching on being filled with the Spirit, and I had been reading on some of that, and also with this, and really is two areas of our lives of being led by the Spirit and being filled with the Holy Ghost are things that we need to do. And both of them, really, from a scriptural standpoint, is really we're commanded to do these things. We're commanded to be led by the Spirit. We're commanded to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And being led by the Spirit, last week I ended, you know, talking, really dealing with the areas of testing the spirits. The Word tells us to test the spirits whether they're of God. And it's important that we do that. In 1 John, John wrote this. John said this. And this is scriptural, and we can turn around and look today. He said, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God." He said, "Because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Many false prophets. There's many false prophets. If you read through what some of the other writers talked about, ones that went out of the church, speaking, people talking about the subject of Antichrist, ones who have gone out in the church. We have people out here today that really are preaching messages and stuff and doing things. And I'll tell you what, I believe, whether people realize that, there's many people standing in pulpits, there's many people professing who are not Christ's. Jesus Christ Himself said, you know, not everybody that says, "Lord, Lord," is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. He said that. And we need to know this. There's many people out here today, they have a false religion that they're preaching. They have false things. And we need to be careful about this. And this is why I was talking in this area about this, because to judge something, to test the spirits, means to take time to do something. You don't just sit and gulp things down. You just don't sit and just eat things just because somebody throws it out there and says it. And especially because of people who have big names. If over the years, if I had $10 given to me by every person that came to me and said to me about something, and I'd say, "Well, you know, that isn't correct." And they say, "Well, so-and-so said," and they'll always name a big name minister. They don't care if it's Bible. Well, a big name minister said it. And so they eat it. And you need to understand this. The devil, the major way that the devil will get and brings false doctrine is usually through somebody who's very influential, who gets to the top. That's how it gets pushed out there. That's why we have false doctrines today. Stuff is going on and it's coming through major voices. You know, somebody that you don't know or don't listen to and that stuff, somebody that doesn't have, you know, too much of a voice out there, people don't pay much attention to, the devil ain't going to try to use them to get his message across. And so we need to be very careful just because somebody says something. Kenneth Hagin used to tell us all the time, used to say, "You check me out in the Bible and make sure that what I'm teaching." He said, he'd always tell us, don't use some obscure scripture, use just one scripture, and the person says, "Well, it's this." There's one thing about it, the Bible will verify itself. And you don't found anything off of, you know, one thing in Scripture, and this is the way it is. And so it's really important. And we read from Isaiah in 28:16, told us, "Whoever believes will not make haste." You just don't, you know, run off with stuff. One of the great problems that will really help you in being led by the Spirit of God, and I saw people do this a lot when I first came into the kingdom. When I first came into the kingdom, there was a lot of ministries going on all over the place, teaching, and there was a lot of good teaching ministry going on all over you could go to. And people would go to these meetings, whether it was, you know, Kenneth Hagin, Charles Capps, and all these, everybody's brother was out here ministering at places. People would go listen to them. And loads of good people were out here ministering. But people would go and sit down and hear something in a message, and they really weren't founded in it at all. They heard something that was good, it was right, and it was true, but they just run off. They were no place in faith to be walking in it. They heard it, and then they'd just run out and go try to do it. You know, you need to learn from the standpoint of the Word of God. It takes time. There's no such thing as instant Christianity. You get born again instantly, but you don't get living for God instantly. Just because you sit down and read a few scriptures in the Bible and now you're bound, you know what's going on. It don't happen like that. Developing the areas of faith takes time. It takes you time to develop. You don't make haste. And especially if you're in the place of faith, if you're walking by faith, you're not, well, we just got it right now. Oh boy, right now. Yeah, it has to be this instant, everything. And just quit doing everything. And people are doing that today. You know, they got into the world's things. It's like Brother Hagin used to always use the terms and talked about the McDonald's Christianity, you know. It's just, you know, the drive-through Christianity. We just want to get in there, get out, you know. We want to get the thing done. Pray for me this instant. I don't want to have to sit down and seek God, read the Word, and find out where I'm messed up. You pray for me and get it done. Let's go down. You know, just call the prayer chain, get them to do it. It's all this kind of Christianity. They took good things from God, but when you take them and you misuse them, they can become bad things. Good things can become the things that become bad to you because if you don't use them right. You know, a knife is a good thing you can, you know, to use and for the right stuff. But if you're done with it, you know, you cut your finger off. And a lot of Christians have used Christianity to cut their fingers off. They have misused the Bible. They've misused faith. They've misused things. And I just encourage you, if you want to be led by the Spirit, you're going to have to learn not to be going out here and just taking off and have to do everything in an instantaneously. You know, with, you know, you get sick. And I just got to pray for me right now. Well, do you ever sit down and read the Word? Like, take the medicine. You don't go to the doctor and say, I want to walk out this door. Well, you give me the pill and that pill fixes me right now and out the door. You don't do that with your doctors. But boy, with God, we won't take, you know, get people to turn around and say, well, I'm sick. Have you been meditating on healing? Well, no. Have you been meditating on the Word and healing? Well, no. I've been listening to end times messages. Well, when you're sick, you better get over and listen to the right thing, you know. You just don't go to the doctor and say, you know what, I'll tell you what, I know I have an infection, but I don't think I want an antibiotic. Why don't you give me something for my nerves? I'd rather have that. Well, you take the medicine for what you need. You know, have some good sense. So, and I learned over time of when I didn't get in such a hurry, things worked out better. Everybody today wants quick fix. Let's get away from the quick fix. We got to stop it, you know. We want to get the job done, but we got to learn, especially the Bible talks with faith and patience, you inherit the promise. If you don't have patience, forget faith. It ain't going to work. It's with faith and patience. It isn't say with faith. With faith and patience, you inherit the promise. And so, learn to be patient about things. We have to learn to stand. I don't know about you. Things don't change instantly. Hallelujah. I thank God for sometimes things do. Sometimes we get results quick. But I've had to learn to stand over time. And you learn to stand. You stand and things get tough. But you got to learn to stand when it's tough. You know, I often think about, you know, we go from like the military standpoint and you look at if today, I mean, we can't withstand, how people can hardly withstand anything. I mean, militarily, people went in and, you know, they fought for years. Wars were fought over years and years of war. You know, you just went out and, you know, till you got the job done. And it's today, everybody wants it done instantly. Everybody wants everything done. Nobody knows about perseverance. We have none of that. And we got to get over there, especially to be led by the Spirit, because you are not going to make the Holy Ghost jump at everything you want. When you want it, you're not going to do that. Just like you don't, he can't get you to jump every time he wants you to. You understand, your relationship with the Holy Spirit is going to depend a lot on how you treat the Holy Spirit. You need to understand that the Holy Spirit is a person of the Godhead. He's not some spooky cloud, and he ain't a dove, and he's not fire. They were manifestations that took place when he showed up. But he's a person of the Godhead. And Jesus said, you know, if you do something to me, he said, I'll forgive you. But he said, the Holy Ghost won't. That's what he said about him. So we need to understand this stuff. We need to understand how we treat the Holy Spirit. You know, he's not there for me to order around to what I want. He's not there for that purpose. And so we want to learn to cooperate. We develop a relationship. It's one of the ways we would talk about testing the Spirit. If you're going to test the Spirit, you're going to have to learn the Word of God. If you don't know what the Bible says about subjects, really, the Holy Spirit can't talk to you about too much other than what you know. You know, a scientist couldn't walk in here today and start talking to me about, you know, say, you know, atomic particles and that stuff. He better be on a very simple talking about it, you know, for me to understand those things. You know, I had some of that stuff in school and things, stuff like that. I've read some things about that, but you know, in other words, he couldn't converse with me any further than my knowledge of it. Understand, the Holy Ghost can't converse with you any more than the knowledge you have of the Bible. It's through the knowledge of the Word that we learn about God and we know about God. It's through the knowledge we gain in the Word, and the Holy Ghost takes that Word and He talks to us in line with that. He speaks to us. So you have to develop those things. So we want to test the spirits. If there's many false prophets, their spirits are going out. In other words, there are people that are speaking under anointings of spirits today. And we're not talking about just preachers. We're talking about people out here in society. There's people out here in government leadership. There's people out here that work in the supermarket that are speaking. Everybody's talking under some kind of influence of some spirit, one or the other. You're either under the influence of the Spirit of God, or you're under the influence of the devil yourself as a Christian. You need to understand that. You can get under the influence of the devil and speak by what the devil once said if you don't watch yourself. So many people, many Christians today are under the influence of the Antichrist spirit. They're talking what the Antichrist talks. They're talking the stuff, they're all sounds nice, sounds real sweet, and all going to get along, we're going to tiptoe through the tulips together. But the end of it's destruction. The end of it is ungodly lives and accepting ungodly stuff. And if you listen wrong, if you turn around and you let yourself be influenced, we need to understand, if false prophets go out, people are speaking. So we just got to judge spirits that are operating through people. We can't always just go just by what sounds good. Most people determine by what sounds good. Understand this. People not judging spirits is why when Paul wrote, said in the end times, he said people are going to draw teachers to themselves. They're going to have itching ears. In other words, the spirit that they're operating under, Christians are operating under, are going to draw teachers to them that are going to preach to them whatever they want to hear. Christians are going to do that. Well, my God, I'm living in the age, buddy. I'm there. I'm in the age where Christians, where churches are filled with people, and the preacher knows full well you preach what they want to hear or you're out. They know it. They absolutely know it. You preach what they want to hear. And there's preachers are starting churches. You see, you read that article that's in the bulletin. Preachers are starting churches because they go out and do surveys to find out what people want to hear and how they want to hear it. And then you start a church like that. So people get to hear what they want to hear. And see, we need to understand, we're dealing with here, people want to be led by the Spirit. You can't be led by the Spirit and do those things. You can't be led by churches that are not doing that. They can't be led by the Spirit. You can't do that because demonic spirits are allowed to operate. Satan's allowed to bring in his junk and people yield to it. You know, never think you're above it. You know, Paul wrote to the church in 2 Corinthians 13:5 and said, examine yourselves as to whether you're in the faith. He wrote to Christians. Examine yourself to whether you're in the faith. Check yourself out. That might take a little time. He said, so he goes, test yourself. Do you not know yourself that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you were disqualified. Actually, that word, what he's writing there, really in the Greek, in other words, it really says, instead of really saying disqualified, would be better said, or maybe you don't understand the test. See, a lot of Christians wouldn't even know how to take a test to see if they are, whether they're in the faith or not. They don't know enough about God. They've never walked with God. They're living just lives of whatever they want to live. They don't even know the test. It's like going to school and kids never studying or paying any attention, and test day comes and they wonder why. You take a test, the stuff was taught, but you're disqualified because you don't know the test. You ain't got a clue. And so we need to understand this. So as Christians, this is why we need to develop and learn. We need to develop and learn in the Word of God. And when Paul told Timothy to be diligent, Timothy was a pastor of a church. He told him to be diligent to show yourself approved unto God. That word diligent there means to be, to exert oneself, to make every effort, to give diligence, make haste, strain every nerve, and to further the cause persistently. It isn't talking about, well, just do it a little bit more than you normally do it. He said to show yourself what? Approved to God. We're supposed to prove something to God. Did you know that? Do you know you're supposed to prove something to God? Oh, we thought God was supposed to prove Himself to us. Well, He will. But you got to prove yourself to God. And what is a workman who is not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth? You need to learn from God's sake. God wants you to prove to Him you know the Bible. That you know what His Word said. He wants you to prove that to Him. That's what Paul told Timothy. Well, maybe Paul was just blowing wind. Maybe he didn't mean it anyhow. And Paul was just didn't get enough sleep at night and was just talking. But see, we need to know this. See, people turn around, they don't realize, you know, well, we're going on, and well, you know, if I don't learn the Bible, well, you know, I just don't understand this stuff. And Paul told Timothy, you got to know this, and you got to prove yourself to God. You got to prove to God you know the Bible. You know what it's talking about. You know what it's saying. So those things are important for us. Hallelujah. So it takes time. It takes patience. It takes diligence. It takes judging. When you listen and hear stuff of going back into the Word and studying things over and over again and looking at them in the Word. It's not just taking things as something said and just running off. Well, I heard that and that was real good. Never look back at it again. Don't look back at it. Just sit and listen to it. Just run on down through. See, we need to turn around and we need to listen to stuff. Go over and over and over. I'm very repetitious. I'm repetitious. And you know why? Because I found this out. God's very repetitious. If you don't like repetition, you and God ain't going to get along very good together. You and God ain't going to have a happy relationship because you're going to get tired of Him quick. Oh, here He goes again with that. Here He goes again. Oh, there he is, over talking about healing again, faith in him. There he is again, teaching about that. And then they got the nerve to come when they get sick and say, I need prayed for. Well, I thought you knew everything. You know, well, there he goes again. Well, then you didn't know enough about it. You got to go get it from somebody else. Ain't nothing about people laying hands on you, but you need to understand. When people get over this stuff, well, they're talking about this, and I always get a kick out of it. Because then the same people will always come along later, then they're having a problem. Another person can't get it fixed for nothing. And they're asking you, and now they want you to preach that message to them again personally. And they call it a counseling session. And in a counseling session, it's just they was too lazy and wouldn't listen. Good preaching anyhow. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want you to go over to Romans, the 9th chapter. All that stuff I said up to that point was free, so we ain't going to charge you for none of that. Hallelujah. We're not going to charge you for any of that. But anyhow, in Romans, the 9th chapter, I just want to read verse 1 to you, because I want to talk about this area this morning, about dealing with the area of conscience. We talked about it before, but we're talking about being led by the Spirit. And listen what this scripture says. He says, I tell the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. He said, my conscience is also bearing witness with me. Your conscience is the voice of your own human spirit. He says that his conscience, what? Is bearing witness in the Holy Spirit. So his spirit and the Holy Spirit said are in agreement. They're in agreement, my conscience. Now when we deal with the conscience, how many of you remember the Looney Tunes? And they used to have, you know, the guy who's doing, you know, something devious, and there would be a little devil on one shoulder and the other soldier's shoulder. There's this little angel, you know, chattering back and forth at each, you know, trying to get the guy to sway one way or the other. Well, let me tell you that in a sense, there's a sort of a truth to that thing. I guess sometimes maybe an angel does come along, but you have a conscience as a Christian. You need to understand, your conscience, we're going to find out that you as a Christian should be listening to your conscience. Your conscience has a voice. And it isn't always a very loud voice. But many times it's loud enough that you know what's going on. You now, in your speaking, your conscience is trying to move you in one direction. And instead of having, like, sometimes you could have the devil, but lots of times it's the voice of your own flesh trying to move you the other way. Now the devil will also get in that, you know, you'd be a little demon come along and sit there and try to chatter to get you to move. But many times you don't need God to tell you something. Your own conscience will move you in the right direction concerning things that are right and wrong. And we need to know that. It says that his conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit bears witness with things to your conscience. And that's why you have to learn to follow your conscience. It's so important. Many times Christians are not following their conscience. You can't follow what's going on around you or what's happening around you. You know, it's because your conscience really deals on the areas of motives of why you do things. And this is the area that's so important. You know, you could do really a good thing, but following a wrong conscience on why you're doing it, and doing things for the wrong motives and things like that, and not following your conscience, really, you turn what is good, you'll never get any reward for it because you didn't do it under the right motivation. And really, the reason you did it was self-centered and motive, or other for other reasons that you did it. And see, you have to learn. You got to learn to follow conscience. You got to follow the voice of your own spirit is telling you. And that's conscience. And see, many times people have that. See, the Holy Ghost bears witness with your conscience. And I want you to look here at some other scriptures because as you look at these scriptures, in 2 Corinthians, Paul also wrote in 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. In 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, and Paul wrote in verse 12, he said, "For our boasting is this, the testimony of our conscience, that we conduct ourselves in the world in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, and more abundantly towards you." So he said, our boast of this is what? The testimony of our conscience. In other words, Paul's conduct of life was in accordance with his conscience. See, the Holy Ghost would bear witness with his conscience. If he could follow listen to his conscience, he would be following what the Holy Ghost. And he said, I have a good conduct of life. He said, I'm living right. Why? Because how did he know? I follow my conscience. I follow my conscience. Now, if you cater to your flesh may become a lot louder than your conscience. And many people do, well, you know, we're in a society today that most people generally go with the crowd because they don't want to be, you know, not accepted. I got to be accepted. I don't want anybody to think I'm strange or weird or anything like that. You know, I hear people today say, well, the peer pressure is just so hard for young people. It ain't ever changed. That is a good way to give young people excuse to live like hell. Everybody's under peer pressure, ain't you noticed? Everybody's under pressure. I'm going to tell you, ain't been any worse peer pressure was on the church during the Roman times. Ain't no kid living today in the United States has ever faced that kind of pressure. That was pressure. Lions were eaten to Christians. But see, people today, they sit around and what it is people want to be liked. People follow instead of following what's right to do, following their conscience in what to do, they follow the crowd. They follow what pleases their flesh. They follow what pleases their friends. I want to have this person as a friend, and if I don't do these certain things, that friend won't like me. You know, I learned to get over that. I learned to get over the fact that they don't like me. Well, that's fine. They don't have to like me. But I'm going to, you know, this is one thing. You need to understand this. If you have a problem in that area, it's because you're a follower and not a leader. You're just a follower, and you're just going to be led around by the nose all your life. I learned. I'm going to be a leader. I don't care if I'm the only guy in the line. I'm going to be following the direction that I'm going. I'm not going to follow a way that my conscience bothers me to follow. I'm not going to do that. Not for the sake of people. Not for the sake so somebody likes me. See, we need to get over that. I've got to go with it. If Jesus likes me, that's what's important. And so, You know, you have, whatever you follow or the direction you're going. Paul said, in other words, his conduct in life, he lived right, he walked in a godly, in simplicity and godly sincerity. Why? Following his conscience. Following his conscience, listening to his own conscience. So his, you know, Paul didn't go to bed at night and his conscience bothered him about what he did that day. Have you ever had that happen? I have. I've had that happen. I went to bed with a guilty conscience. And then you got to go get the stuff straightened out and get it fixed. And back in. But if you follow your conscience, and that's an important thing. Paul said in Acts the 23rd chapter, in Acts the 23rd chapter, Paul speaking of conscience, said this. It says, then Paul, look in verse 1, said, Paul looking earnestly at the council, said, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. My conscience has been good up to, he said, up to this day. Right now I'm standing, following his conscience. I have a good conscience. My conscience ain't bothering me. And see, we need to understand that. You got to learn to live that. If your conscience bothers you about something, don't do it. Or if your conscience is promoting you, understand this. And this is so anybody who listens to this, if they download it offline. I'm not talking to any sinner today. If a person's not born again, their conscience is going to be a terrible, terrible guide because they're dead in sin. Their spirit, their conscience, is going to lead them to do, can lead them to do almost anything. And you need to understand this. If you understand the conscience thing, you won't sit around and wonder why the world does what they do. Now, I wonder why the church or people who declare themselves as Christians, I wonder why they do what they do. Many of them, it's because they don't follow their conscience. They're following whatever, you know, or whomever, you know, that they do to, you know, make it in life or to get to whatever they want to get to or have. So they follow, you know, whatever's going on around them so they can achieve what they want. They're not listening to their consciences. The world listens to its conscience. You need to understand, a person is not born again. Before I was born again, my conscience didn't bother me at all about certain things. Didn't even affect me at all. And I got born again. It was the most amazing thing that I found when I first got born again, how immediately there was things that I found I couldn't do. And I didn't even know much about the Word, but there was things I knew were wrong to do. I knew it wasn't right. Well, you know, if you had that when you were unsaved, I mean, I'd have known that. What happened? See, I got born again, and my conscience now, there was a voice, my own spirit, bearing witness of the Holy Ghost, was in me trying to move me in a direction to follow God's plan and purpose for my life. It was in there to do it. Now, I've seen this happen. I've watched Christians over time where they've turned around and they've ruined their own conscience because they kept going against their conscience and following what was wrong to do. After a while, they don't even hear a voice anymore. They just go ahead and do and live a certain way and don't pay no attention to it. They don't even pay attention to their conscience. Paul talked about a seared conscience. You can go over and quit listening to your conscience into things and get to the point where your conscience will not bother you and you can do evil stuff and it won't bother you anymore. Christians. Paul talked about Christians doing it. So why? You want to learn to stay sensitive to your conscience. You want a tender conscience all the time. You don't want to override your conscience. You don't want to go around to people and say, well, is it okay to do this or that? And then, when you know inside you ain't supposed to be doing it, but trying to get someone, you keep doing that stuff, and after a while you'll just go ahead and live and not pay attention to your conscience, and you'll do all kinds of things. That's why Christianity today is doing all this crazy stuff out of here. Many Christians have seared consciences. They have quit listening to God. They've quit listening to the Word of God. They have followed. They just follow what they like to hear. And what they, and they've just seared themselves. They don't listen to their conscience anymore. They can do all kinds of stuff. That's why ministers, people can born again, stand up and say, born again. Say, yeah, God loves the homosexual. And so it's okay to be a homosexual. And it's okay to, God loves, you know, the fornicator. You just go ahead, live like hell. Do whatever you want. God loves us all. It's all going to be all right. That's why they can do that. Because they've seared their conscience. They've seared their conscience. I want to tell you this. You sear your conscience, you won't even hear from God. He'd have to talk to you in an audible voice to get you to hear Him. You don't want to do that. You don't want to sear your conscience where you're turning. Basically, a Christian like that would live much like the world does. So you don't want to do that. You want to listen. If you hear the voice of your conscience, God through the Holy Ghost guides us through our conscience. You know, you don't have to have a little angel sitting on your shoulder. God's in you. See, most people believe by the cartoons. They've watched the cartoons. They've watched old Cecil B. DeMille's and the Ten Commandments, and they think that stuff's true. They don't pay no attention. That whatever the world puts out is the way it is, you know. It's funny when you see those things and laugh, but folk, it's funny to look at, but it ain't true. You don't need an angel on your shoulder trying to tell you. You have a conscience. And if you listen to that conscience, you'll listen, you'll know. God indwells you. The Holy Ghost will bear witness. The Holy Ghost is in you. You're the temple of God. You don't need an angel sitting on your shoulder. Is God on the inside enough? Hallelujah. Well, we want to follow that. We want to live with a good conscience. And we want to talk about, because I want to go over and look at some scriptures concerning in Hebrews. Go to Hebrews, the 9th chapter, because I want to share with you some things here about the conscience and whether our conscience is a good guide. You need to see some things from a scriptural perspective about your conscience. And the first thing we want to look at is looking at us as really from dead spiritually. You and I were in our spiritual condition in Hebrews the 9th chapter. Hebrews the 9th chapter in verse 8 says this, the Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing. It was symbolic for the present time in which both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make him who performed the service perfect in regard to conscience. You see, no matter how the Jew followed the law, his conscience could never become pure or perfect. They use the word perfect there. In other words, or mature. It couldn't be pure. He would never have a pure conscience. Why? What made us a pure conscience is when we got born again. We became new spirit beings. Up until that time, their conscience would still allow them to do wrong things and evil. Their own conscience would move them in wrong directions. That's why people can't sit down and these Christians say, well, look at all the things that David did. And he did, well, you know, we're out here and God will just, you know, he'll just, you know, I just go out here and do stuff. He'll just forgive me of anything. Hold it, folks. We need to understand something. David wasn't born again. His conscience would allow him to do that. But David had a better conscience than 90% of Christians today. And he wasn't saved. You know, we need to square it up, folks, in the church world. But we preach a sloppy gospel today that really leads Christians to live worse lives. We don't live, you know, really, the church world in general today doesn't even meet the standard of the Corinthian church. It don't. You know, like Paul said to them, don't you know that you're the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? Don't you guys know this? Well, most Christians today don't live like God lives in them. They live like God's so far away, he can't even got an idea. He can't even see as far as where they're at. You know, he can't hear. Because, you know, you got to at least get within 100,000 miles of him to be able to hear. And, you know, that's why we just need 1,000 people to pray so we can get a loud enough voice for God to hear way out there. You know, if I can just get enough people to pray, then it'll work, you know. And, you know, it's because of what people don't realize that God's in them. That God is in us. See, what made the difference is when man became the temple of God, and man could not become the temple till he got born again. Now his new spirit being, the Holy Spirit, can come and dwell in him and commune with him and fellowship with him. That's what took place. And up to that time, your conscience, as a sinner, you might have had conscious things that you were taught by kids that you didn't do and this and that and the other thing, but your conscience still wasn't a good guide. Because your conscience could be easily swayed. It was a dead spiritual nature. You no longer have that dead spiritual nature. Now in that same chapter, look at verse 14. What verse 14 says this, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living of God. See, the blood of Jesus Christ gave you a cleansed conscience. You now have a clean conscience. Why? You got born again. You're a new spirit being. You're not the old spirit. When Paul wrote to the church at Corinth and told them that if any man was in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. You don't have the old conscience anymore. You don't have that. You don't have that old nature with that old conscience that followed the flesh and what the flesh wanted. That's why there's a battle in Christianity. Christians keep trying to find this peaceful life where there's no battle. I'm sorry, there ain't nothing but battle. The peace is staying over in the side of the Spirit and not walking over in the side of the flesh. Because the flesh is always battling against the things of the Spirit. The Word tells us. The flesh lusts against the Spirit. It's always trying to fight against it. The flesh wants to, I want to go this way. The conscience is saying, nah, we're going this way. And the flesh is saying, no, we can't. Oh, they might do that and it's going to work. I just know. Oh, they're not going to like me anymore if I do that. That's the flesh screaming over there. And if you keep letting it yell all the time, you keep it always playing with it and letting it do what it wants, it'll own you. The flesh will own you. The flesh will just override the conscience. Don't allow that too. You know, better have a good conscience where their problem is they don't listen to it. Many Christians have a good conscience, they just don't pay no attention to it. They're always about what surrounds them, what's going on around them. Their decisions are made by that. They try to find scriptures that fit their physical situation. Instead of walking in the Spirit, instead of getting over and listening to their conscience, learning to follow. You know, understand this, there's a lot of things that specifically the Holy Ghost don't have to say to you. Your conscience, your spirit already knows it, and it'll bear witness with you on it. Your spirit already knows it. And so you want to walk in light with that. So you as a Christian, when you got born again, the blood of Jesus Christ gave you a clean conscience. So your conscience is going to be a good guide to you if you learn to develop and walk in. You have to learn to develop in an area. You have to learn to listen to your conscience on things. Now in Hebrews the 10th chapter, Hebrews the 10th chapter, verse 22, says this, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Men draw near to God, again, by the blood of Jesus. Why? The blood purifies the conscience. The blood of Jesus is what purifies. There's nothing else that's going to change the conscience of men. If people don't get born again, if people don't get saved, they just keep going on in the same evil direction. The more we're in an age and there's a huge dividing going on. There's people that are following God and the other crowds following the devil. There's no in-betweens. I want you to know this. Nobody's in between. You're either in the right camp or the wrong camp. It doesn't matter. Many Christians are in the wrong camp. They're following the spirit of the age. They're following the spirit of Antichrist. And they're following it along. And man, they're just tracking right along with it. They're following the spirit of the age. But if you'll listen to your conscience, if they'll listen to their conscience, they wouldn't do it. This is why. I found this happen many times. People are listening to stuff, listening to ministers or listening to things taught, being said, whether it's to a preacher, whether it's to a politician, whether anybody from an influential standpoint who stands before them. And I've had many times where people followed after things and they said later, I had a sense something was wrong. You know, I'll never forget as a young Christian back in when PTL was going. When PTL was going on, and I was just a young Christian, just got born again. And it was a big ministry, and there was many good things that took place through that. But I saw as things going on, I would sometimes sit down and I'd watch the show, and I watched it. And after a while, man, it started bothering me. My conscience would bother me when I watched the show. It would bother me, and I knew. And I, you know, as a young Christian, I didn't know much, but I would say to older Christians I knew, something ain't right about this thing. Things are going wrong there. And they would, oh, you know, this, oh, yeah, you know. Oh, you just don't. Look at all the good they're doing. Look at all the good. You don't understand. The devil always wraps his evil around doing something good. Always. And if you're just following because you see some good. This is what people say to me. Yeah, I know this is wrong and that's wrong and that's wrong. But they're doing this real good thing over here. So they justify evil because somebody has some good in it. Those are the people that follow the devil the most. They'll get sucked in by the devil every time. And then there was the crowd that was in that group. What they did is they played on people's lusts. We need money, so we found out a way to get more money to come in. If you send us $1,000, we'll give you a free week's vacation down here every year. You can come down with a hotel to stay in and that stuff. Well, I mean, all the followers they had, they couldn't build enough hotels to give everybody a week anyhow. I mean, it was nothing but a con thing. I mean, here I am, a baby Christian, and I know this thing is stupid. I know they can't run this thing. You need to understand, you know, they had 20, 30 million people, you know, following after their ministry. And when they started that thing, I mean, they had tons and tons of people. There ain't no way everybody could have got rooms every year to go down there and stay. It could have never happened. It was impossible. The world even tried to explain to Christians, it can't work, this thing's wrong. And all the Christians got mad. The world's trying to stop this good thing going on down there. The world had enough sense, while Christians are just following like dogs in heat. Why? Because of the lusts of their flesh. They are following their flesh. I want to tell you something. Their conscience was telling them the same thing my conscience was telling me. They weren't paying attention. I was a young Christian. I'd talk to people, they know the things were wrong. But yet they would keep following the path. Keep following the path. And then there was a major thing that came up along with it. And then I said, I'll tell you what, this thing is going to go under big time. It's going. And I knew it. And oh, hey, it looked for a year or more after that like it was still going great. And everybody, yeah, well, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're talking about. I'm going to tell you, something's going to collapse. If you have any sense, you'll see it a long way off. You don't have to wait till it gets up the door of the collapse. And then, oh, how did that happen? How did that take place? What made that go on? I knew it was going to go under because of stuff they were doing. You can't. They weren't following, weren't doing things right. But worst of all, was people considered themselves good Christians that would not listen to their own conscience, kept promoting them to do what they were doing wrong by giving them their money, not stopping and saying, hey, this stuff's wrong, let's bring this to a stop. I thought it was interesting because when I went to Rhema, accounting firm that does a lot of big ministries, that does their accounting and that stuff, he had been on the board to that ministry. And anyhow, about the time that I said this thing was going to go under, I found out then that he told us then when he had left the board, it was about the time that I said this stuff was going on, and he told them, he said they wouldn't listen to him anymore because he said he had nothing but guys around him would all go along with anything he wanted, and everybody's promoting him, just keep doing this and doing that. And he kept, you're doing stuff illegal, you're doing stuff wrong, you shouldn't be doing this thing. And so there's people who saw and people didn't, but the majority of people didn't. They didn't see what was coming on at all. You know, I'm only $1,000 the rest of my life, I get a free vacation. Oh boy, I get to go down there I'm going to tell you, ain't nobody in the business world can offer you that, and ain't nobody in the church can do it either. They're nothing but cons. Manipulation to get money. But it all took place. We can't throw it just at them. It would not have took place if Christians had listened to their consciences. It would have never happened. It would have been brought to a halt. But people refuse. People refuse to listen. They'll just keep going on. Well, this, I like this. This is, you know, I like this and I like this ministry. I'm just going to keep on going with it, you know, down the road and see it going on, and We're just going to keep playing the game. Why? Because this is what I like. Because, you know, if I stop and say, hey, I can't go along with it anymore, people think, you know, that, well, you know, you got involved with something that was bad. You know, there's many things that started off with good and right and people got bad, but I ain't going to keep going down the road just because everybody else goes down the road with it. You know, and even if I made a mistake, I'd rather quit and submit to the mistake than let my huge fleshly ego keep me running in the thing because, you know, I'm too big-headed and prideful. I don't want anybody to think I missed it. You know, if you missed it, get out. And you need, if you follow your conscience, and that's why it's so important. You know, afterthought, over the years, many people I talked to that were involved in things with concern that ministry during that time, time and time again, people knew that things were wrong. People knew that things, and still went on with it, went on with it. They knew. See, if people just follow their conscience, and their conscience says, stop, stop. Don't matter what everybody else is doing. Not really say, hey, hold it. We're going to apply the brakes here and now. Now, that doesn't mean everything that you see is wrong with something that you just automatically stop. Sometimes things are wrong. And people, this one thing, don't make haste. Give people time to correct things. Give people time to get things back on the road again. But if people persist and just keep going in a direction, and, you know, there were voices that kept trying to talk to them and trying to tell them that, hey, stop. And those voices were always shouted down on their TV network. And then while they'd stand and shout everybody down that stood against them on anything. And but they did it to themselves. They have nobody else to blame for it. There's no one else to blame. But it's one thing is you need to know. Don't be a participant in what's evil or what's wrong because you don't follow your conscience. Don't be a participant because we can't say we're not guilty. If I participate, just like there, these people, they talk about that ministry. If people would have followed God, if people would have stopped and opened their mouth, and people would have stopped. But what happened was somebody would open their mouth and they'd be shouted down and everybody else is afraid to say anything. You know, I won't say anything around my friends because they all like that ministry. And I don't want them to know that I ain't with it, you know, that we don't want. Why? Because it's more important to have the friendship than, you know, as in, you know. And they're saying, well, you want to go along? And I've had people used to ask me, do you want to go down there? I got enough trouble at home. I don't want to get down there and get in trouble. I don't need to get down there and get in trouble. I can have enough trouble here. If I go to a meeting, I want to go to a place where there's a good spirit. Because I need help. I don't know about you. I don't need to go to a place that feeds my flesh. There's enough of that out here. I can. And, you know, is number one. Any place, let me tell you something, let me just say this to you. Any Christian ministry that is trying to start Christian communities is of the devil. Oh, we want to have our Christian community. Oh, we're just all going to live, you know, together. And have, none of that. There has never been any mystery. Look, they've been trying this for centuries. And every one that's ever starts fails. Every one fails. Kenneth Hagin said this. Jesus told him, the Christian is only supposed to be looking for one city, and that's the city from above. We're not supposed to be trying to have our Christian communities and Christian stuff. That's what led to all that demise. We're going to give, the Christians are going to have all their own park to go to, their own stuff and all their things, and you don't have to go out there and touch that nasty world out there. That's what we're supposed to do. Go out and touch that nasty world out there. That's what we're supposed to do. See, when they start that, it's on the road. And see, there's certain things you can begin to see. And all through, I mean, you look through any group that's ever tried to do that. But there's other places in the United States where they've tried this. Every one of his fellows, places around the world, Christians have tried it. It always ends up in going under. Never makes it. And the ministers who start it always get into error and get really messed up. Why? You open the door to the devil and he'll, you know, next thing you know, it's just like, you know, you're the next best thing to slice bread. Oh my words, look, they'll follow you, listen to you, they'll come and live where you're living. Whoa, you're something. Woohoo. And they get out there and all of them end up getting out there. Well, we don't want to get out there. Hallelujah. Praise God. We want to learn to follow our conscience. If we fail to understand what God has done for us through the new birth, we fail to understand, and this is the big failure. Most of Christianity doesn't understand what the new birth is. I mean, I constantly, if I like in the car, if I'm driving, you know, and I listen to the radio and the Christians in the radio, I would say you hear 95% of ministries, I don't care if it's spirit-filled or what it is, when they talk about the new birth, all they talk about is forgiveness of sin, forgiveness of sin, forgiveness of sin, forgiveness of sin. That's all they talk about. I want to say this to you. If that's what the new birth, you basically look at the new birth as forgiveness of sin, You almost know nothing about God. You almost know nothing about, surely know nothing about the new birth. Thank God for the forgiveness of sin. But the new birth is God living in man. The new birth is about God. It's about you being a new creation, a new person, a new spirit being created in the image of God. Just forgiveness of sin. Christians who live and hype only forgiveness of sin, we tell the world about the forgiveness of sin. In the church, we are now children of God. We're temples of the Holy Ghost. We've already had that forgiveness of sin thing. And if we mess up as a Christian, we're supposed to confess our sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us. Thank God for that. But you won't have as much trouble over in that area if you really know who you are. The forgiveness of sin is the preaching to the world, to the church. You know, the church is, we're the temple of God. The Spirit of God's living in us. I have a conscience. My conscience follows right in line with God. That's what the church needs to know. The church out here today, I mean, it's all about, you know, we want a crowd, so you just keep talking about forgiveness. God, just forgive us. You know, Christians are coming in every Sunday, sitting in these churches and sitting and hearing about God forgiving their sin. You should be about over that one by now. You should already know it's forgiven. You should start living like you're a child of God. You start living like God lives in you. Quit trying to get a hold of somebody else to get a hold of God for you. My God, I learned about that when I was a baby Christian. I could get a hold of God myself. Man, people get to Christians for years and still can't get a hold of God nowhere. They don't know where He's at. And the whole time their conscience is trying to bear witness with them about God, but they don't pay no attention to that. Well, I'm just like everybody else. We're all just sinners. We're all just sinners. That's what we are. We're just sinners. We're down here just hellions, just trying to get by. And maybe God can drag us out of here one day and get us to heaven, maybe. We're probably good. I have one leg in hell now. I hope He can get me out of it. Yeah. I can just feel the flames. That's good preaching anyhow, folks. But see, if the church, if Christians, we don't come to the place till we know who we are. If as far as we've gotten is just the forgiveness of sin, we're going to live on a low level. We're going to live on a really low, 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 low level. If that's all we have. And that's the big hype today. Hey, I'm for God forgiving people, and I'm for that. But I would tell you this. If people learn to know who they are, you ain't going to have to ask God very often to forgive you. You won't be doing all kind of dumb stuff that you need forgiven for. And that's the purpose. The church should live high above anybody who lived under the old covenant. We should live high above anybody on the old covenant. We should never use the example of a person from the standpoint of their conduct of life over the old covenant to try to justify our sin. I'm going to tell you, because you will stand before God on that. He will talk to you about that. He will talk to you. You're a Christian. Because if you listen to your conscience, you would never try to justify sin on that side to drag it over here. It's okay to do. Amen, folks. It's good preaching. God is going to judge you by your conscience. He's going to judge you by your conscience. You need to understand that. If you didn't listen to it or I didn't listen to it, that's my fault. But God's going to judge you by your conscience. God's going to say to you, well, you say, I didn't know that. Say, hold it. You knew that. You didn't pay no attention to that. That's a different story. You know. See, I sit down and teach you. I took the test, but I didn't know those answers. But they were given in class. You just didn't pay no attention to them. They were given. You're going to be held accountable. Well, maybe not in school today. They'll make a test that just you can pass. You know, they'll give you one just that'll work for you. So you don't have to, you know. You don't have to meet the mark. But I'm going to tell you what. God ain't an American educator. He's going to hold people. He's going to hold people to what they were taught and what they know. And if your conscience isn't listened to, and this is why this is such an important subject, your conscience. Follow it. Obey your conscience. Learn to live by it. You know, you might hit and miss starting off and doing it. That's fine. We all hit and miss things going along, learning. But you learn to listen to your conscience. Learn to be have a tender conscience. I make a confession about my conscience. I have a confession that I make about my conscience. I always confess I have a tender conscience. I have a tender conscience. Why? I want it to bother me if I do something wrong. I want my conscience to have a loud voice in my life. I need to have that. Because if I miss the mark, I need a loud voice speaking in my life. And your conscience, now it ain't some thundering voice. There is the voice of the Lord that speaks sometimes, and I've had and I've told you guys about sometimes it seems that almost an audible voice speaks. My conscience isn't an audible voice, but my conscience can be very strong. My conscience can be very, very strong. I'll tell you, sometimes it's hard to get away from. You know, there's things that I'll tell you what, son, I just don't feel like doing or want to do. And you're my conscience. I know in my conscience, I'm going to have to do this thing. I might as well just shut up and do what's right. And my conscience can really get around bugging me. My conscience can give me, like I said, people have asked me, I know Gary Bailey asked me one time if I ever thought about quitting the ministry. I said, oh, I've done that dozens and dozens of times. I've quit the ministry. I said, I've gone as high as 15 minutes. I said, I'm going to leave the ministry. And I said, you know what happens? My conscience bothers me so bad. I said, oh, Lord, I repent. I can't do that. I can't quit. I can't do that. I sure tried. Boy, I've wanted to go do something. Let's go do something else. My God, let's sell cars or something. I don't know. But I've learned, you know, over time. And, you know, I don't do that as much in these later years as I did my earlier years. My earlier years, I've gotten a lot more patient in that area about things and say, well, you know, I'm here and doing it now. It's like, well, this is what he has me doing. I don't know if I'll ever do something else. This is where I'm at right now. It don't matter. Here we are at this place. If something, you know, wants to come over and bother me, well, you know, we've gone through that one before. So anyhow, that's one thing that helps over time. If you can stick things out for a while, you come to a point where you've gone through a number of things many times. And so it isn't as hard dealing with it the next time it comes around. It's when you first start off, these things are new to you. It's like Kenneth Hagin said. He said he'd come among the Spirit-filled people. He said he thought they were all had wings, and he found out it was just their shoulder blades sticking out. And I guess when you first come in, when I first went in the ministry, I thought, you know, I thought everybody was on the up and up, and I found out they weren't. I found a lot weren't on the up and up. You know, and I never forget the first time, the first minister's group that I belonged to, and I went, my word, they're meeting. And I sit there, and God, you know, first one I ever went into, God told me, you stay away from that guy over there. I mean, I'm here buying my own business. Just come in, you know, doing the ministry. You know, you want to come in, you know, and oh, I want to be open. He said, stay away from him. And I found out later, though, God did that to help me, because the guy was a problem. And he didn't want that. Do you not understand? This guy's operating on wrong spirits. You hook up close to people with wrong spirits, it gets on you. Now, you don't have to worry about the world. I'm talking about the church. Paul said not to eat with any so-called brethren who does this crazy stuff. He said, I didn't say the world. You don't have to worry about getting a devil from the world. You get them from hanging around with believers who are downright carnal and live through the flesh, and they're your friends. Living in sin, fornication, adultery, you know, boozing, carousing, doing all kinds of stuff and hanging around with them. Well, we just love Jesus. Well, you're going to love him someplace else, not at my place. You're going to love him somewhere else, not at my house. I believe in getting sin put under the blood, but until it is, you ain't coming my way. You need to guard yourself. You need to go. Christians that don't follow their conscience, don't you go be hanging with them all the time. You know, pass by and say hi. And down the road you go. The Bible says you don't have as much as eat with them. These Christians out here living like hell. Loads of Christians would never have gotten into the sin that they've had, that they were in, if the church would have put the hammer down when they did and say, look, you can't go that way and fellowship with us. I had a person tell me that, you know, about their life, they'd like to get straightened out. They said they want to, you know, pray, get back to God. I'd like to come to church. And I told them, I said, my God, you're living with a woman having sex. And they said, you're telling me you want to come? I said, you ain't come to my church and me fellowshipping with you. I said, go to some place else. I said, you ain't hanging out with me. I said, if you ain't going to get out of that relationship, you're talking about you're getting in fellowship with God. I said, you ain't fellowship with God. You're a liar. 1 John 1:9 says you can't walk in darkness and be in fellowship with God. In 1 John, the first chapter. 1 John, the first chapter. Go read it. You're not in fellowship with God. God told me he's praying. I said, well, a lot of good that does you. I said, God ain't answering it. I said, he ain't fellowshipping with you. If he's not fellowshipping, he's not answering your prayer. Get awake. You know, go live like hell. Come on and live in my house. Woo! Or just, folks, we don't realize. Invite the devil in and then try to pray to get the devil out. You can't get the devil out. See, we need to understand this stuff. This all has to do with being led by the Spirit of God. But see, we got this worldly love that accepts everything. No, it don't. No, it doesn't. God don't. If God don't fellowship with you, it ain't. Forget it. If God ain't going to fellowship with you, I'm not either. See, people need to understand this stuff. Paul said when a person calls himself a Christian, when they name themselves as a Christian, there's a standard to be lived. That standard has been removed even from the best of a lot of the Spirit-filled churches. The standard's gone. The standard is, you come, we minister to sinners, yes. Christians that want to stay in sin, we got special ministries for them to try them to, you know, go to a 12, you know, step program to try to quit having being in adultery. No, the Bible says quit it. Well, I have a sexual addiction. Well, then get castrated or whatever else. Jesus said, if your hand fails you, cut it off. You do what you got to do to fix that immediately. You don't let it go. Because if you want to stay in it, you ain't hanging out with this guy. Because why? God ain't fellowshipping. See, you start accepting those kinds of things, and after a while, your conscience won't bother you either. Your conscience won't. It's not being mean to people, it's telling people. You know, we're in the natural. If we go out here and there's a spread of a disease, is that quarantined? Do people quarantine? Do people try to stay away from, you know, something to try to get? Not the church. If there's sin, go jump in the middle of it. If there's Christians in sin, go get in it with them. That's how we'll just turn them around. Let them know we love them. Yes, I love you. But if you don't get clean, I ain't getting what you got. I'm not going to get what you got. You need to understand this. You want to stay clean because of the people around you. If you want to reach your family, you got to get clean. If you want to reach your family, you got to get clean. Because if you're not, the spirits that you have on you will be on them and you'll have problems. You want to be clean. If you want to reach your family, you don't want demons operating through you. You don't want demons hanging out with you. Many people are doing things that just aren't good and aren't right. We need to walk and live in what's right. We need to understand these things, folks. Folks, I'm not saying this stuff to be hard, but it's downright truth. It's the truth. It's the way things are. See, we got to get clean. If we follow our conscience, and we will live by our conscience, and we'll follow it. Paul said, I've got good conduct. I've lived right before God. Wow. Why? He was a great example to other people. You didn't have to worry about if you went to one of Paul's meetings, you were going to leave with another spirit than you came with. You don't want to do that. See, if we follow our conscience and we live by our conscience instead of by our feelings. So, well, I hate to say no to them. I really like them. Doing right and liking a person. Do you think it'd be you really like a person so you're going to do what's wrong? What's bad for them and you like them? I sort of have a hard time with that. I have a hard time with that. See, we got this don't judge things. Paul said you're supposed to in the church. Paul asked this question in go over and read 1 Corinthians. Paul asked in 1 Corinthians, don't you have anybody among you that can judge? We don't judge the world, but in the church, when a person calls themselves a Christian, we are supposed to expect a certain standard of living. That doesn't mean everybody's doing perfect or anything. It has nothing to do with it. But we shouldn't have Christians living just like the world, that we can't tell any difference between their lives and the world's lives. If it is, we have a right to judge it. We have a right to judge it. And you need to. Why? For your own protection. For your protection. It's just like a disease in the natural goes, spirits get on people. Do you know why? I'll just tell you a little bit. Do you know why in hospitals many times there's people go into the hospital and come out worse than what they were when they went in? It's not physical, it's spiritual. There's people dying in those places all the time with demons. And when that person dies, that demon is looking for a new home. Oh, everybody today, it's all just physical. We go to the hospital, it's physical. I'm going to tell you what, demons will get on you in places. I remember reading some years ago about a guy, an account that he had, being in a hospital. God opened his eyes. He saw a guy die, and he saw the spirit go off of him and go in a nurse. We believe in demons, but we just, you know. I just can't believe Christians walk around and don't even think about any of this stuff going on. Anybody, any of this stuff happening. That's why hospitals lots of times are such a mess. Because there's loads of demons going on. Well, then again, there's a lot of churches. Lots of demons. But there's stuff going on. And people don't realize. They wonder why. Why is this happening? Why are we having all... Why are we... Because people are not living. They're not walking, thinking right. We're out here, instead of following our conscience, walking. If you follow your conscience, you'll have a good conduct of life. You'll walk. You know, if you're listening to your own spirit, you're going to be able to walk and do... And you're going to know a lot of things that are going on around you. And you're going to be much more aware of the world you're living. If Kenneth Hagin said it, and I believe it's true, he said if God would open the eyes of Christians and they would see the demons around them, he said many of them would literally die of shock. Literally. He wouldn't say figurative. He said literally. I heard his voice said it. He said they would literally die of shock. But we walk around and everything just in the natural. You know, I'm going to fix my life. I just eat chicken all the time, you know. I'm just going to fix my life if I just do, you know, that's going to do it. I'll just do this all the time. Maybe I just eat lettuce. I'll just, you know, whatever. I'll just do this. Maybe I do this. But people get over on natural things. If I just do this, it's things that are natural, fine to do. Eat whatever you want. But the whole thing of it is, we're living in a world that's full of demonic powers. And understand this, the devil is the god of this world. The devil is the god of this world. The devil is the god of this world. You want to make sure you hooked up with your God, because his team is a little bit larger right now on people he's operating through, if you haven't noticed. Now, I ain't scared of none of them. One will put 1,000 to flight, two will put 10,000. So I figure me and Jesus will take care of 10,000. Most Christians can't take care of themselves, much less 1,000 or 10,000. See, we got to walk right about these things and keep ourselves into listen to your own conscience. I'll tell you, it'll revolutionize your life. It'll change. Hallelujah. It'll change your life. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just want you to get this morning, though, the fact that you guys, as Christians, you're born again. You're a born again Christian. You have a good conscience before God. You do. You have a good conscience. You can listen to your conscience. You're born again. When you were in your dead nature before you were saved, your conscience was a terrible guide. It was awful. But now you're born again. You're born again. The Holy Spirit indwells you. The Holy Spirit is bearing witness with your conscience. So your conscience is a good guide. It is a good guide. Start listening to it. Listen to your conscience. If your conscience bothers you about something, or, you know, is trying to move you in a certain direction, or do anything, follow it. If your conscience, you know, your conscience isn't always about, you know, in the areas of guilt of doing something wrong. Sometimes your conscience is about the right decision to make or what's the right thing to do. You don't know sometimes the things to do. Sometimes I've learned this. Kenneth Hagin used to talk about this. He said, you know, learn to follow peace when you follow peace. Lots of times I wouldn't know exactly what to do. And sometimes you'd pray and ask God for direction. Sometimes you don't really get, I didn't get anything. So what I did was I just walked toward at first what I sensed might be the right thing to do. And sometimes as I headed in that direction, I knew in my conscience that was the right way to go. Sometimes I found when I walked in that direction, it was like, don't do that. But I didn't know that till I moved in that direction. I didn't know it was the wrong thing. See, sometimes people make a mistake because they'll just stand and wait and wait and wait for God to say something and wait for God to say something. Sometimes you don't do that. Sometimes you just, you know, if you've asked God and He hasn't spoken to you about it, well then take a step toward a direction. Sometimes when you do, that's when your conscience comes in and starts working. Saying, no, no, that's not the right thing to do. Don't do that. I remember when I wanted to go to Bible school. You know, I wanted to go to Bible school. And I thought at first, well, God wanted me to go to Bible school, and He didn't. But He had a certain time He wanted me to go to Bible school. You know, I tried to go to Bible school. I wanted to try to go to Raymond. I started heading that direction. My conscience just bothered me bad on that one. I thought, man, I wanted to go there to school. But I tried. And I tried to be there. One time I had sent for, you know, material about the school and one of the applications to fill out. And I got it and threw it away. I just knew I'd forget it. It made me half mad, you know. But see, I mean, my conscience, no. I thought my conscience was saying, you can't do it. It was just better. It wasn't the time to do it. It wasn't the time. Well, so I tried a couple other schools. I'd sent some things to another school and that kind of stuff and things. And after I did, I knew that wasn't it. And it didn't matter to me what they said about going and coming back. I just knew it. But see, I knew after this, it was my conscience. I just knew in my conscience saying to me, no, that's not the step to take. That's not what you, no, you don't need to go that direction. And so I thought, well, I wasn't going to. And it was about maybe less than, oh my words, it was less than 6 months before I got the go ahead. In fact, that was one of those times when the Holy Spirit spoke to me. That wasn't the voice of my conscience. It was the Holy Spirit. It was a much more audible voice said to me. One day I was working at Reese's and said, and here we were in January, and the Holy Spirit said to me, I want you to go to Rhema this year. He said, I want you to go this year. And, well, of course I knew, but I had about 6 months before I had prayed, God, if you want me to go into the ministry, you're going to have to put me under some good teaching. And I said, if you don't, and it don't work out, it's your own fault. I said, whatever you're going to do, you better get doing it. I didn't, you know. But I guess probably a lot of it was inside of myself. I just felt this drawing into me, and I'm moving that direction. But then God spoke to me about it. And, you know, when the voice of the Lord spoke to me about it, you know, my conscience was completely clear about going. I just knew that is the direction that I hit. And so I just followed that out. I just followed it out and walked after it on what to do. And see, you follow your conscience about going. When we were going to go to Rhema, I just followed my conscience about what to do. Because we came along, God told us to go after He had to spend us a whole bunch of money He had to spend going on a vacation. He told me to take them kids and wife and kid on a vacation. We spent a ton of money. And then He turns around and tells us, I want you to go to Rhema after we spent the money. And that's what I said to Him. I said, I wanted to spend all that money. He said, yeah, I know. That's why I didn't tell you till now. You wanted to spend it. That's why a lot of people have trouble getting money from God. They'll never let God have the money. They're always trying to work the money thing. And always, you know, they'd have never taken a vacation like I took. They'd say, oh, that's wasting money. We just wasted money. And we did. We wasted some money and had fun with our kids. We wasted money and had a great time. And God wanted it that way. God wanted us to have a good time. And we went and did it. And when we went to go to Bible school, you know, I had to follow my conscience because God didn't specifically. I went and got an application, filled it out, sent it in. God accepted. And I knew this. I knew Wanda wasn't going to want to. She wasn't going to be, wahoo, let's go. You know, you have your wife, your kids, she has, you know, your had home, your kids and everything like that. And we're to move off and quit our jobs, move off and just go. And I said, God, this one's on you. I said, I'll go and I'm glad to go. But said, you're going to talk to her about it? I'm not. I said, I ain't talking to her about it. I said, we ain't going that way. He said, if you're going to have to convince her. Well, God convinced her. We went, turned around, and went to get acquainted with Raymond. Went out, and I just, I she knew that I was accepted at school, but I wasn't going to make a move and say to my wife, "Well, you have to go." You know, it'd be the worst thing in the world. People just, "Well, we're just going to do whatever." And I said, "The Lord, you're going to have to deal with this." Well, after she went out and went to get acquainted with Raymond, went out there, she said, "I know we're supposed to be here. I know this." So see, God convinced that one. But just following my conscience, I learned just to do it. We came along, and money-wise, about money about going. We had to have tuition to go. We had to have the money. We needed thousands and thousands of dollars we didn't have. But I followed my conscience. First of all, my conscience would not allow me to go tell anybody how much money I needed or money I needed. I never said a thing. You got to learn to follow your conscience. Quit following preachers. You always have to tell everybody how much money they need. A lot of them would get a lot more money and do better. Sometimes it doesn't matter with telling people, what you're doing, but they're just all the time telling people what they're doing and how much money they need. And sometimes they're telling you a lot more and telling you for a lot more money than they actually need. But my conscience wouldn't allow me to tell anybody what I need. So I walked the conscience. So I followed all this. I did to follow my conscience. Didn't pray about it. Wanda and I just followed conscience. We said we had some money in our savings. It wasn't near enough money to do what we needed to do. And said, "What should we do with that money?" And Wanda and I just decided. And Father God, it was clear. I said, "Well, we'll just give it away." And so we went and gave it to the church, to their building fund. We just did that. I was all following my conscience. I didn't pray a lick about it. I didn't pray nothing about it. I just followed my conscience. It just seemed my conscience was really clear to go ahead and do that. So now that we're sitting there and we're going to go and we need thousands of dollars, we have no money. We just gave all our money away. But my conscience, I'm serious, my conscience was completely clear. My conscience was happy. My flesh talked a little bit. But my conscience was happy. My conscience was, this is good, this is the right thing to do, we're doing what's right. And we just kept following it. And then the money came. And then we were told that they were, people were going to pay for our schooling for 2 years. And then money just started coming into stuff. And money started coming in and everything was paid for. And I think we had we got there and we moved out. We had like $4,000. We did real good. But all that we did just follow my conscience. See, most Christians, "Are you praying about that?" It's good to pray. But I tell you what, sometimes it's much better to listen. And people sometimes would do more listening than praying, they'd do a whole lot better. Listening. What's my inner man saying? What's going on? What's the Holy Ghost bearing witness with me about? Lots of times I pray for this purpose. I pray to get myself quiet so I can hear. You need to get yourself quiet so you can hear something. You're too noisy in asking and all that stuff. I'll get in praying tongues till all of a sudden I get in contact with what is actually going on the inside of Ed. Ed, what's happening in here? What's on the inside? What would be the good thing to do? Where would my conscience, where can I do in my conscience to be happy about it? And see, that's what you got to find out. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, I just want to say thank you this morning for speaking these things to us, for telling us these things.